This current spate of dry weather is not the only one this winter. We're running behind in precipitation and way behind in snowpack. Yes, it's still possible that we could catch up, but odds are we'll have another active fire season this year. So now's the time to think about getting ready and making places that might be prone to wildfire just a bit less so. That means, among other things, preparing defensible space around buildings, like, say, the school in Tiny Rouche in Oregon's Applegate Valley. A proposal on the table would prepare defensible space around the school and enlist the help of students in doing the work. It's meant to be part of the FireWise program, something very familiar to today's guest. Carrie Chaput is the office manager at Applegate Fire District. Is it still 9?
Yes,
it is. Okay.
Fire District 9.
And she's also the treasurer of the Rogue Valley Fire Prevention Co-op, so involved in a lot of fire prevention activities over the years, and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Thanks for joining us today, Carrie.
Thank you, Jeffrey. This is a great project. It's a great way to not only reduce the risk of wildfire, but to raise awareness and involve the community, and most importantly, the kids. Now is the time to encourage our citizens and communities to commit to making their communities a safer place to live, to reduce the risk of wildfire. We live in one of the highest fire danger areas. Southern Oregon is rated as extreme in fire danger.
Just in general?
Yes.
Really?
And it has been for years.
Mm-hmm. And so how busy were you, for example, in the Applegate Fire District just last year?
Well, we generally have 500 to 600 calls, and of that, 30% are fire-related. But wildland fires is a big effort, and it takes a collaborative effort, not only our first response, our initial response is the fire district, but then if it grows beyond the homes, then the Oregon Department of Forestry or U.S. Forest Service or it is a collaborative effort. We need to do whatever we can to raise the awareness and help protect the homes, the neighborhoods, and future communities while increasing the safety for the wildland firefighters for future wildland fires.
Let's talk about the FireWise program, because I understand that this effort at the Rouche School is meant to be under that FireWise umbrella. But for folks who don't know what the umbrella is, can you give us a description?
Yes. Well, this is, I think, a result of the change in the way state, federal, and local agencies manage fire. And so this program is really sponsored by the National Fire Protection Agency. FireWise is a way to engage communities in reducing fire and working together. So the National Fire Protection Agency is working together with State Farm to encourage local groups and agencies to work together and reduce fire or the hazards of fire. The challenge these days is to engage kids in understanding the role of fire without using fire or scaring them. It's a project that is designed to teach kids the natural process of fire and understanding how a resilient forest will protect them. So the idea is to go in and first teach the kids. This will be 6th, 7th, and 8th graders about fire behavior and fire intensity, fire science, and then fire resistors and cedars and spreaders, how plants adapt and actually survive in fire.
Is this a tougher message to get across than the Smokey Bear message of just put fires out, that sort of thing?
Well, Smokey Bear is really designed for the kindergarten, first grade, and it is a great program, and it's not to play with matches and not to know what to do. We have always found it a challenge to engage older kids and really come up with a program that gives them something that they're interested in, but might even encourage them to become firefighters. But the other part of this program is it is going to involve community service. So what they'll be doing after learning the basics about fire, they'll be also botanists will come in and teach about fire-resistant plants. And then they'll be making a selection for those plants. We will then go out on the grounds and reduce some of the fuels. The fuel reduction is a big part of building a defensible space. And they'll get hands-on experience doing that. But then we'll plant the fire-resistant plants. It's along their track that not only they use every day, but the community uses. But the biggest part is after they've learned these lessons, they will pick a community member, someone with special needs or what we call vulnerable population, that needs this work done. And the community will come together and get that work done on May 2nd, which is National Wildfire Prevention Day.
Right. So we're talking about the basic project at the Rouge School and then some tentacles that seem to fan out from there. Carrie Chaput, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, office manager at the Applegate Fire District and treasurer of the Rogue Valley Fire Prevention Co-op. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange with questions or comments. 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. 800-838-3760. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. So to back up a couple of steps, you said it's not the little kids doing this. It's the kids in the older grades at Rouge School?
The older grades. We still certainly are going in with Smokey the Bear. Mm-hmm. That happens in April and May throughout Jackson and Josephine County. But this program is designed for the older kids. And really for this to work, for us to win the grant, first of all, will bring community awareness. But we need our community to vote. We have till March 5th. They need to go to wildfireprepday.org and look for the Rouge School project and just vote. That will keep us on the front page.
You know, there's a very, very long URL to give here, but it's just easier to tell people to go to either our website at jeffexchange.org or to our Facebook page, and we link directly to the page that has that on there with the details, and you can actually have the vote button right there.
Thank you.
So is the work going to go on at the school one way or the other, with or without the grant?
Yes, I'm certainly hoping that just the awareness that we have raised with this project, that not only will we do it either way, but it will become an ongoing program. It would be nice to be an annual program. We will always be in wildfire country where we live.
I have to believe there's been some attention to the school grounds, though, up to this point, though. I mean, I can't imagine there's that much more defensible space left to clear around a school in a rural area.
But not only do you want to create a defensible space, you want to maintain. And so, yes, thinning has been done through the Oregon Department of Forestry. There are great grant programs available there. But this is a great lesson, is not only creating a defensible space, maintaining one. So really what we're looking at is just removing some of the ladder fuels and the small sprouts from the manzanita and madrone that has popped up on their property. And it's a great hands-on learning example, you know.
So in regular maintenance, then, how often would you go about and do some thinning on your defensible space? Should that be an every year thing? Is it something you can get away with every 2 or 3 years if you're lazy, that kind of thing?
It should be an annual. It's just a matter of maintaining your property. Here we live in this beautiful forested area, and that's, I think, the big part between the collaboration between the Rouge School, Applegate Fire District, and Southern Oregon Forest Restorative Collaborative. They're wanting to teach the public how to have a resilient, healthy forest that they manage, that becomes easily managed. The initial work is always a little more difficult, and that's where you'll find grants available. There are through the Oregon Department of Forestry, or I would encourage anyone to really contact your local fire agency to have an assessment done there, a free assessment. Any fire district is going to want to go out and visit their constituents and see their property and help them prioritize what should be done. Once you've done the initial defensible space work, it really is easy to maintain.
But the initial work can be cumbersome. You're talking about potentially removing trees and things like that. If you've got trees touching the house, stuff like that.
Shrubs, and it's mostly the dead and dry limbs. And, yes, you want to not have a continuation of fuels, fire hazard, to your home. So it's that first 30 feet. Then you're looking at the 100 feet.
100 feet, right. Mm-hmm.
And then you, really, the access on your driveway is very important. But you know, it's step by step. All we're asking is our community, our neighborhoods, to take that first step. And the first step can be as easy as calling your local fire agency.
And they will come out and do the assessments for free.
Absolutely.
All right. So have there been projects at the Rouge School to clear out the defensible space previously that involved students?
Not that involves students. We came in or collaborated with the Oregon Department of Forestry and had the work done. And we wanted to plant fire-resistant plants on the grounds with plaques. We didn't have the funding, and so that's why we're hoping this program will get awarded, and that funding is going to be used for that, the plants and the plaques.
Plants and plaques, okay. Mm-hmm. So that's the big stuff, because obviously you're not going to pay a lot for labor here.
No, we're going to get community support, and the school does attract a lot of great community support.
Let's take a call. We have Ryan and Eugene on the phone. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking to Carrie Chaput from the Applegate Fire District.
Well, hi, Carrie. It was interesting, you know, the idea of creating a resilient community is something that's sort of churning around in the education community, and certainly fire, flood, other natural disasters, and all of the rest of that is certainly is part of that community conversation, and so I commend the work and the projects. I do think that there is a neat collection of opportunities for, you know, family and community nights and bringing other resource people to the table, better understanding the role of science and science education and science knowledge and helping to create a resilient community, and, you know, even broadening that, you know, definition of resiliency a bit, and not just natural disasters.
Thank you, Ryan. Thank you for your support on that. It is. It is an evolving process, education and outreach to your communities. I really think it is a result of the change in the way federal, local, and state agencies are looking at managing fire and engaging the communities.
So how much competition are you aware of out there for the grant that you're trying to get for this FireWise project to clear out the land around the school and then potentially to move off into the community and do it somewhere else?
For this particular project on the NFPA site, there will be 65 awards. This is the third year. The first year was 25, 40 last year. 65 is really showing a great effort nationwide of how important this is. We are still on the first page, I think, first on the top 12, and though having the most votes is not the only deciding factor, it is also the project, but I feel really good about our project.
And so it's a $500 grant if you win this?
Yes.
And then it pays for what now?
We're going to use those funds to buy the fire-resistant plants, mm-hmm. and to make the informative plaques that will last for years and years, because this is an area that not only students for years to come and teachers, but parents and community members will use to learn be educated about fire resistance. Their choices.
You're here because you made some outreach, obviously, from Fire District 9 and the Rogue Valley Fire Prevention Cooperative. How much are the kids doing to try to get interest drummed up and to try to get people to go online and vote?
We did make a presentation at the school. We're getting a lot of great support. I'm watching our numbers go up daily. A lot of that, I have to give credit to our fire chief, Brett Phyllis, is very supportive in prevention and working with the community.
So the concept of defensible space, I think I mentioned as we were sitting you down and getting everything in place here that we probably talk about defensible space at least 3 or 4 times a year. So congratulations. This is the first time for 2015. Is the idea catching on? Are people getting are they marinating in the knowledge enough to know that, oh, wait, I need defensible space around my house?
Oh, I believe it is definitely raising the awareness, but all education takes repetition and consistency, and it is evolving, too, what we learn and how we how effective it is continues to grow. But it is repetitive, going back and showing, one, that your community, that you care. But there's the little things that they can do. If we can teach them and show them by removing the pine needles and things from their roof and their gutter, when winter is over, to move the firewood from their home, anything where embers can nestle in, then it increases the survivability of their home. If we can then go in and teach them to remove some of those dead leaves and branches and making their home more accessible, then it's a lot safer to defend during a wildfire.
The 30 feet, the initial 30 feet around the house, and granted, this is generally for people who are living a little further out in the country, not necessarily suburban neighborhoods, or is it a good idea for all?
For all. I mean, look at the suburban neighborhoods. Look what happened in Ashland. How fast a flame or an ember will spread. And so you're looking at that continual fuel. If we can break up that continual fuel, whether you're living in suburbia or if you're living out in the rural areas,
that's a good point if you're talking about the Oak Knoll fire, because you know, they're thinking, hey, suburban neighborhood close to the freeway, this is not wild land. And yet they lost 11 homes in that fire.
Because it spread so quickly.
Wow. So in that first 30 feet, I mean, can there be nothing? I mean, can you have trees still close to the house but just trimmed appropriately? I mean, how does that first 30 feet work?
Yes. And, well, you have to look at the flammability of the material. One, the building material, you know, if you still have some shake roof or shake material, old wood decks and things under your deck. But you don't want juniper and, you know, right up next to the home. You just want to give it some space. It's all about space, having a little space.
All right. So this particular project, again, involves Rouge School, Applegate Fire District, Southern Oregon Forest Restoration Collaborative. You're hoping to make this a FireWise project. What are the deadlines here? The last day to vote is coming up pretty soon, isn't it?
March 5th is the last date to vote. March 10th, the announcements for those projects that are being awarded will be made.
Okay, and you'll see if you get a $500 grant from the State Farm and the National Fire Protection Agency.
Thank you, Jeffrey.
Carrie Chaput is the office manager at Applegate Fire District Number 9 and their treasurer at the Rogue Valley Fire Prevention Co-op. And again, you can get the access to be able to vote for Rouge School's project through our website at jeffexchange.org. Carrie, thanks so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you, Jeffrey.